Hi, how are you?
I'm good, Baruch Hashem. Good. I'm just trying to add everybody in. Hi.
Good morning.
Hi, morning.
Good morning, good afternoon.
Good yeah, everything. Absolutely. One second, where's got? Oh, I see, one second, I've got. Oh, okay, that's a bit quieter. All right. Now, Jody's there.
Hello.
Amy's there. Oh, hi. Hi, Amy. Hi. Hi, Diane.
Hi.
Hi, wonderful. Elena, Jody, Diane, Amy. There should also be Dina. Where is Dina? Oh, Mia. I need to get on Mia. Add. And Mary. Mary. Add Paul.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Mia. Lovely. How, darling? How are you doing?
Good.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you for your parcel. It came.
Oh, yay.
Hey, terrific. Yay. Thank you.
Yes, I'm looking forward to you making progress in your art, part of your brain.
Thank you. You're right. That's what I need. I can't find a contact for Dina. Let's see if I've got a contact request. Oh, no, I remember writing to her and telling her that there were so many. I didn't know which one she was. Okay, all right. Okay. I don't know what. Wait a minute. That's Mary's. Mary's didn't work. That's a shame. All right. Well, we're here though. Most of us. That's wonderful.
Okay. Can I make a request?
Of course. Is that Amy? Yes.
Yeah. There was a lot of people in my hometown that were. Some were killed and some were just damaged. Homes were damaged because of the tornado that we had last Sunday. And I wanted to have the class in honor of their merit.
Yeah, of course. Oh, dear. Yes. Oh, gosh. Okay, very good. Okay. All right. Gosh. All right. All right. Aseda Gamor. Oh, golly. Yeah, did you know any of the people? Amy?
Oh, a tree came down in my yard, but God it missed my car, and it missed my neighbor's car, so thank God.
Oh, yeah.
My family lost electricity, but we didn't have any property damage other than losing the tree.
So. Oh, gosh. It sounds pretty drastic, doesn't it?
But 30,000 people lost electricity, so.
Oh, wow.
That's the entire city.
So what's the name of your city where you are?
I'm here in Svart, but it's Tallahassee, Florida.
Tallahassee, Florida. Okay, so let's wish that everybody in Tallahassee, Florida who was injured or was killed, that should have a refuah shleima and have a iluy neshama in the difficult and tragic weather conditions. What can I tell you? Yeah, and that everybody else should, you know, speedily get their lives together again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so.
Amen.
Yeah, sure. Gosh. All right. Now, we'll start off with our prayer, okay? I just want to check it's recording. I can't get hold of Mary and I can't get hold of Dina. Yeah, it's recording okay. So I just wanted to make sure that can everybody hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay, yeah. That's good. All right.
Yep.
That's good. All right, that's good. All right, so Ribon Olamim, Vadonei Hadonim, Master of the Universe and Lord of Lords. Av harachaman vaslichot. Modim anachnu lefanecha Adonai Eloheinu v'leavoteinu. Kida bishtachavaya. Shekeravtonu letoatcha ulevadatcha v'dat hakodesh. ונתת לנו חלק בסודות תורתך הקדושה. מה אנו, מה חיינו, אשר עשיתי עמנו חסד גדול כזה. על כן אנחנו מפילים תחנוננו לפניך, שתמחוב ותסלח לכל חטאותינו ועוונותינו, ועל יהיו עוונותינו מבדילים בינינו לביניך. הן יהיו רצון מלפניך, אדוני אלוהינו ולאבותינו, שתכונן את לבבנו לרעתך ולאהבתך, ותקשיב אוזניך לדברינו אלה, שתפתח לבבנו הראל בסודות תורתך, ולימודנו זה נחת רוח לפני כסא כבודך כרך ניחוח. תציל עלינו עומק נשמתנו בכל בחינתנו, שיתנוצצו ניצוצות עבדיך הקדושים, אשר על ידם גלית את דבריך אלה בעולם. וזכותם וזכות אבותם וזכות תורתם ותמימותם וקדושתם יעמוד לנו לבל ניכשל בדברים אלו. ובזכותם תהיה עינינו במה שאנו לומדים, כמאמר נעים זמירות ישראל, גל עיני והביט הנפלאות מתורתך, כי אדוני תן חוכמי מפי דת ותבונה, יהיו לו רצון עמרי פי, והגיון ליבי לפניך, אדוני צורי וגואלי. Master of the universe and Lord of lords, Father of mercy and of forgiveness, we give thanks before you, O Lord our God and God of our fathers, by bowing the head and bowing down, that you have brought us close to your Torah and to your service, the holiest of services. And you've given us a portion in the inner meanings of your holy Torah. What are we and what is our life that you've done for us such a great loving kindness as this? So therefore, we lay our supplication before you that you should forgive and pardon all our sins and iniquities, and don't let our iniquities separate us from you. And may it be your will, O Lord our God and God of our fathers, that you prepare our heart to have awe of you and have love of you. And may your ears hear these our words, and may you open our uncircumcised heart in the inner meanings of your Torah. And let this our learning give pleasure before the throne of your glory, like a sweet smelling fragrance, and may bestow upon us the light of the source of our soul in all its aspects. And may the sparks of your holy servants, through whom you reveal these your words, shine out in the world. And may their merit, and the merit of their fathers, and the merit of their Torah, and their wholeness, and their holiness, stand by us, that we do not stumble in these words. And through their merit, enlighten our eyes in what we're learning. As the sweet singer of Israel said, open my eyes and I will look at the wonders of your Torah. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth, knowledge and understanding. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be ever acceptable before you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. May I ask two questions?
Hi, yeah, yeah.
Hi.
Is that Dina?
Hi, I'm trying to help Dina get connected. Can you add her to the list and take me off because I'm unfortunately not able?
Yeah, I know. I tried calling her, sending her contact, but she's got about five different profiles. I don't know which one to send to.
I just sent you a contact request.
Oh, you did? Just now?
Yes, I did. Can you?
Let me see if I can find it. Pending contact requests. Oh, wait a minute. No. Where does it say that? No, it doesn't say it. I don't see it.
Can you see me trying to contact you right now?
Wait a minute. Well, I see you online now. Where would I find the contact request?
Are you under Yedida Cohen?
Yeah. I mean, I'm talking to you.
I mean, right now... I'm trying to connect from a different computer right now to you. That's Dina, and
I don't see a contact request from Dina.
We're also trying to call you at present.
Yeah, well, that's not going to work until we've swapped contacts. That's the problem. I can't see any contact request.
I can
resend another contact request. I mean, I keep sending them, but I don't know which profile she uses.
Hmm.
I mean, I can stay, I can have you, I mean, as your profile today, if you want.
You know, I wish I could. Unfortunately, yeah. I need my laptop. So,
try just sending me, I don't know. I don't know where to find it. It's not showing
up. Hey, Adita?
Yeah, hi.
Hi. When you're in your Skype,
yeah,
and you open the full window, on the left-hand side, do you see something that says home, contacts, current calls, recent?
Yes.
Okay, so at the bottom of that is, at the way bottom of recent, is something called history.
Okay.
If you click on history, you might see the contact request there.
I don't see that.
You don't see history?
No, it doesn't have that on mine. It's got today, and it's got pending contact request, but there's no pending contact request there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. I'm recording it. That's the best I can do.
That's okay. Good. That's okay.
Okay, I'm sorry. And after class, I'll get together with you on the phone, and we'll do it together.
Wonderful. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Okay.
No, it's okay. Meantime, I'm following.
All right, that's great. Okay, great. All right. Okay, everyone. So last time we started to look at...
Before we get started, can I ask two questions about the prayer?
Yes, of course, with pleasure.
Okay. So in one of the paragraphs, it says, "And so it may be your will, O Lord, our God, and God of our fathers." Is it acceptable to say God of our fathers and mothers?
I think it's included.
It just says
fathers. This whole thing about gender... All right, because that's what you're really asking. Okay, that's a very, very, very important question, and I'm glad you raised it. Okay, this whole thing about gender is not a real issue. We learn in the Kabbalah that God created man and woman as a whole, as one soul. Okay, so Adam, the word Adam, includes the man and the woman together. Now, why we say God as a he, it's not meaning God as a gender, because, of course, God doesn't have a gender. I mean, God is unknowable. God, as he is in himself, doesn't have a gender. What the word he means, that we're going to learn about the language of Kabbalah, what the word he in the Kabbalah refers to is God as a giver. Okay, the male... aspect in the Kabbalah is the giving aspect. The female aspect of the Kabbalah is the receiving aspect. Okay, it's not to do with men and women, because obviously all men and all women do both. I mean, a woman, for example, will receive, you know, from her husband and will give to her children. So she's obviously doing both all the time. All right, we give to our neighbors, so we are he in that respect. We're masculine in that respect. When we're receiving, you know, we get a nice kiss from one of our children, then we are feminine at that point. So male and female in the Kabbalah does not mean men and women. Now, when we understand that, then also the word father in the Kabbalah actually refers to cause. Okay? There's cause and effect, all right? The cause, our cause, is actually our father or our mother, okay? So the word our fathers automatically includes our fathers and mothers, all right? We don't actually have to say that. So that's one of the problems of translation. And it's not only a problem of translation, because you really have to see that what we're really talking about is you've got the language of the Kabbalah is a special language, which we're going to discuss at one point, called the language of the branches. Okay, it's got code words. All right, we came across one last week, the word life. All right, and then you've got Hebrew, and then you've got English. So you've got three languages there. All right, now many of the people who translate Kabbalah actually don't know the code words. And so they translate it literally and get everybody in a terrible mess. And this is actually one of the major stumbling blocks which have plagued Judaism for the last 2,000 years, because the inner meanings were not widely known. Now, that one of the great things that Rabbi Ashlag did was he actually wrote what we would call a spiritual dictionary. And he actually wrote, this means that, that means that, that means that. You know, for each word, you've got the real literal equivalent, which is not at all the same as our literal translation from Hebrew to English. Okay? So that's a fascinating question, and it's obviously a very big question, and it's a question that I'm very, very, very glad that you raised up. Okay?
It's not improper. Is it improper for me to say God of our fathers and mothers?
No, why would it be improper? It sounds wonderful to me.
Okay. All right.
I don't see what's improper about it. I mean, a true prayer is what comes from the heart, okay? It's not, yes, there are the prayers which are given to us, you know, by great tzaddikim, and they are worth using because they not only knew the literal meanings, but of course they knew they had the attainment of this spiritual worlds. They had the attainment of the energies that were being tapped into. So of course, you know, it's absolutely fantastic to be able to use a prayer which the Holy Ari himself composed. You know, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is thrilling, you know, a wonderful, and he was able. But if you feel from your heart that you want to add in the word mothers, I'm like, yeah, go for it. Why not? Terrific. Because if that's what your heart is telling you, I think that's what you should do.
Okay. And my second question, and if you want to answer this to me personally in writing or later on, you can do that. I don't want to take up too much of your agenda today. But it also says, please open our uncircumcised heart.
Yes.
Now, somebody asked me, because I read this prayer to somebody, and they said, what is the meaning of uncircumcised heart? And I didn't really know how to answer that.
Very good question indeed. And no, it's not a silly question. Now, by God, you know, Hashem and his Hashgacha Pratit, his divine providence, I happened yesterday to be reading in the Gemara with another friend on doing another, a different shiur, that the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, in other words, what Rabbi Ashlag calls our will to receive for ourselves alone, our selfishness, our inbuilt, you know, wanting to receive just for ourselves, our ego, has actually seven names in the Bible, or maybe, you know, in the Torah anyhow. I'm not quite sure if it meant the Bible or the Torah, or if it meant in halacha, in Jewish tradition. Okay, actually got seven names. And it was Moses who called it the uncircumcised heart. And I think it comes from Deuteronomy. And I actually found that it's actually in the Gemara on Sukkah. And I was reading it with a friend actually only yesterday. And that's what it means. So he's saying, our heart isn't yet pure. We're not really pure enough to really be worthy of this incredible material. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is there has to be some connection between ourselves and the material for anything to go in, all right? I mean, if there's no connection, you wouldn't even be interested. Yeah? So if there must be some connection for us even to be on call together, for some of us to be even together, all right, to all of us to want to be here, so there must be a connection there. Okay? So what that means is there's a certain, what's called affinity of form, that is a something in common. We have something in common with this material, which is why we're drawn to it. Nevertheless, to say that we're completely pure and really be able to take it into the depth that which it deserves would be a totally different idea altogether. And we're not. We've all got our own blocks, our own obstacles, our own, you know, the channels are a bit rusty, what can I tell you? Okay? So what the prayer is saying is, okay, dear God, please don't take any notice of this rust. Don't take any notice of the bits that don't, that aren't in affinity of form with you, which aren't in conformity with you, which aren't in conformity with the light. But give us the light, open our heart anyhow. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you. That's I appreciate it, and I'm sorry I took up so much time in the class.
I don't think you took up any time at all, Amy. You don't have to apologize at all, because that was important, for, I think, for everybody. Those are beautiful questions. Yeah, and everybody wants to know the answers to those. All right? So that's really beautiful questions, and I appreciate them.
All right. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Now, we got last time to discussing the word light, life, okay, chayim, okay? And I'm on page 18 of Kinyan LaTorah, which I sent you last time, the pages which were called, I think it was happiness. Was it happiness? The happiness and the life of Torah. That's the Hebrew, and there's the equivalent English. And we began this section last time, and we started to look at the idea of the word life. Oh dear, Jodie's disappeared. Let's just connect her in again. Sometimes her connection fails. All right. So we're going to start again from there, because again, the word life is one of those key words. It's one of those code words, which has got a particular meaning in the Kabbalah. Now, I think this is a very important point, because what it really means is a direct connection with the source of our life, which is God, okay? When we ask God on Rosh Hashanah, dear God, give us life, remember us for life, write us in the book of life, what are we really asking? Are we asking, dear God, you know, can I have another year, a physical year on earth? Well, yes, also. But what we're really asking is, let me be in connection with you. Let me be alive with you, because you are the source of my life, of my true life, which is the life where I am flowing with you. Okay? So connection with God is life. Disconnection with God is death. All right? And that's what we need to know. And this is what it says here. The meaning of the word life is unity and connection with the creator of the world. Okay. So I'm starting again from where it says the Haktamah LaTalmud Esar Sfirot, and we're dedicating it to the people who had suffered in that tornado. אבל ודאי, מי שעדיין לא טעם את החיים של קיום תורה ומצוות, הוא לא יכול להבין ולהרגיש כי טוב השם כדברי חז"ל. ואינו חש אשר כל הכוונה של השם יתברך בבוראו הייתה רק להיטיב לו. Now, what that says is, but certainly, whoever has still not tasted the taste of life, of the fulfillment of Torah and mitzvot, he cannot understand and feel that God is good, as the words of the sages have said. And he cannot sense that all God's intention, may he be blessed, in his creation, was to give benefit to him. Now, why does he emphasize the fulfillment of Torah and mitzvot in order to feel this life? Okay? We said that life is the connection between us and God. All right, this living connection. So, but what's Torah mitzvot got to do with that? And the answer is that we are all born with what Rabbi Ashlag calls the will to receive for ourselves alone. Now, we began to touch on that when Amy's question, what does the uncircumcised heart mean? It means the way we've all been born is we've all got an ego, which is also called the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, or Rabbi Ashlag calls it the will to receive for ourselves alone, which is the will just to receive for ourselves. Okay, now that's the reason, that's part of the reason why the human being is created, because he has to take that will to receive for himself and transform it into a will to give. Now, how on earth is he going to do it? How is he going to take something that's natural and feels natural and right to him and move it into a way of giving? All right? It doesn't fit, it's not, you know, if you talk to the ordinary person out there in the street who's busy, you know, trying to make money and trying to, you know, run after whatever it is he's running after and build a bigger house or a bigger car, or but that feels to him natural and right that everybody should simply work for themselves, okay? Because that's the way he's built. Now, why would we want to do anything different? And the reason why we would want to do anything different is because of the effect of Torah on the world. God came down on Mount Sinai and brought this incredible wisdom to the whole of humanity through the Jewish people. And the wisdom is that there is a higher purpose for which you can, for which we live, which is the true purpose of our life. And the true purpose of our life is not to create, you know, get more and more and more. The true purpose of our life is actually to give unconditionally and to others. But because it's against our created nature to do that, we don't know how to do it. So we need the Torah, which it means teaching, and we need the practice of the practical practice of actually doing the practical mitzvot, to practice it in order to actually gain what Rabbi Ashlag calls a second nature, a new nature, a nature in which giving will become as simple and as easy and as unconditional as our original receiving was for us. Okay? So, if we look at that first sentence again, he says, but certainly, whoever has not yet tasted the life of the fulfillment of Torah and mitzvot, he cannot understand or feel that God is good, according to the words of the sages. And he cannot sense that God's intention in his creation was only to give benefit to it. And the reason why he can't feel it and he can't sense it is because there's no connection. When a person is just in the mode of receiving, 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 and if God is just giving, 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 there's no connection. So we have to start to give in order to make that connection. Okay? So that's why we need the Torah and mitzvot. Aval kein, and therefore, ein lo eitza acheret im rotze limtzo et tam chayav, ela lalechet ulakayem haTorah v'mitzvot ki hirchat tam. And therefore, there is no other counsel for him if he wants to find the true taste of his life, the true reason for his life, except to go and to fulfill, to at least to try, to fulfill the Torah and the mitzvot in their proper way. Now, kihilchatam means not to do it for in order for himself to gain something, but for to do it for its own sake, which is unconditional. Okay, I'm going to stop there and give you all a moment to take that in and ask me any questions.
Yedida?
Yeah.
Hi, it's Dina. So what you're saying about Torah and mitzvot, it sounds like that's only relevant to the Jewish people. What if someone is not Jewish but wants to get close to God?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, the Torah and mitzvot is not just relevant to the Jewish people. The Torah and mitzvot come through the Jewish people. They came through the Jewish people, but they are not confined to the Jewish people. Not at all. On the contrary, the purpose of Torah and mitzvot is eventually to bring the whole of humanity to unity with God, because the whole of humanity is actually one soul. We are actually the soul of Adam, which when Adam ate from the tree of knowledge, which he was meant to have eaten, that one soul split up into all the different little bits of soul, which make up the whole of the human race, past, present, and future. Okay, so we are in fact one soul. Now, the reason why the Torah was given through the Jewish people is because we actually, through our fathers, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, we actually have an ability to start to give unconditionally, which was something which was given to us through the Zchut Avot, through the merit of our fathers. Okay? So we were chosen to be the first receivers through which it emanates out into the rest of the world. Now, when non-Jews ask, what can I do? How can I connect? There is a there's wonderful organizations now called B'nai Noach, who take the seven mitzvot, which were given to the whole of the children of Noach, and go into them in tremendous depth. And that's always a good place, if you're not Jewish, to begin. But many non-Jews who are attracted to Kabbalah actually also take on themselves aspects of other mitzvot as well. So it's
Thank
happening.
You.
You're very welcome. Nevertheless, the Torah and mitzvot, when we talk about Torah and mitzvot, again, there is an issue, which is that the Jewish people have on the one hand the greatest capacity to give. We also have, unfortunately, the greatest capacity to receive for ourselves alone. I mean, it's a two-edged sword, okay? It works both ways. So the amount of purification that we need is proportionately greater than that of other nations. We actually need more purification than other nations do.
As it says in the Talmud, those people who have the greatest inclination, right, for greatness also have the strongest inclination towards evil or receiving for themselves
absolutely.
Alone.
Absolutely. So the Jewish people have the biggest vessels in both directions. So that's the reason why we have so many mitzvot, and it's so important for us to try wherever we are and according to whatever we've learned and whatever we're doing. I'm not telling people what to do in their daily lives. It's up to every single person. But to have awareness that it is important for Jewish people, because we have the biggest egos also. It works both ways. It's a two-edged sword. So that's why we were given so many. Non-Jewish people don't have usually such huge vessels. Makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Baruch Hashem.
Okay, that's very good questions. Anybody else want to ask anything? Yeah?
I would dispute her comment, because the Christian Bible is tacked on to the Torah, and the Quran is based on information or stories that are found in the Torah. And Mormonism incorporates, I believe, a lot of the Torah.
And even Native American religions incorporate are very similar to Judaism. So I think there's a lot of paths.
I think that what Dina was actually asking was actually more in the connection with the mitzvot, was what I understood.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so yes, but of course, truth is truth, Amy. And of course, the Torah, Ki Mitzion Tetzei Torah. For from Zion shall go forth the Torah. The purpose of the Torah is actually to spread over the world. Nevertheless,
but if a non-Jew does a good deed, isn't it still a mitzvah?
I would imagine that it helps the world go up, yes. Whether it counts as a mitzvah, I don't know these particular definitions. I would imagine it does, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, so much depends on, you know, what a person's inner intention is. I mean, I have enough difficulty knowing if what I'm doing is a mitzvah, let alone, you know, anybody else, you know, and especially, you know, I've no idea.
Okay.
All right. Let's move on then. V'zeh shekatuv b'Torah, b'parshat Nitzavim, ra'ei natati lefanecha hayom et ha'chayim ve'et ha'tov ve'et ha'mavet ve'et ha'ra. Asher anochi matzavcha hayom la'ava et Hashem Elokeha lalechet b'drachav lishmo mitzvotav chukotav v'mishpatav v'chayita v'ravita u'beirachacha Hashem Elokeha ba'aretz asher atava l'rishta. Okay. Now, it's written in the Torah, in the Parashat Nitzavim, see, I put before you today. Now, today, when we learn Torah, we learn it in the present. We learn it now, okay? So every single person here, all right, needs to say that God is standing right there, right now, and he's telling us, see, I'm putting before you today. Today, this minute, you have a choice, okay? Between the life and the good and the death and the evil. Right this minute, every single one of us, we have that choice every single moment, okay? Right here and now. We have the life. We have the possibility of connection. And we, God forbid, we have the possibility of disconnection, all right? And Tchiyat HaMeitim, revival of the dead, is happening all the time. Because half the time, you know, I forget and I say something I wish I shouldn't have. And I look and I've lost it, okay? And I've fallen down again. And then God taps me on the shoulder and says, hey, you know, and he revives me and he brings me back again. Okay? So all these processes are happening here and now. They're happening today, happening this moment. So each one of us, as we're reading this, we have to know that this is happening, this is for us right now, okay? Whenever we learn Torah, it's in the present. Asher anochi matzav hayom, which I'm commanding you today, la'hava et Hashem Elokecha, to love the Lord your God. Love. Well, it's a bit tricky. I mean, Rav Ashag also acknowledges that the whole issue of loving God isn't so easy. Because to love, you need to know, okay? So as he's going to tell us much later on in this introduction, that loving is something that in a way comes later, but we want to aim for love at least, okay? To walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes and his ordinances. And then you will be alive. Then you will live. And we know now what living means. It means being connected. And you will multiply. And God will bless you on the land which he's bringing you there to possess. Now, the land is the desire. Okay? Again, it's one of these code words. All right? Doesn't mean you know, the physical land of Israel, although it can mean that. It's always, you know, both, you know. But it's also, Haaretz, Eretz Yisrael, means the desire, Yisrael is Yashar El, straight to God. It's the desire of the soul, the desire of that part of us which is directly connected with God. Okay? So that's where he's going to bring us. Okay? And then God will bring us to the land you're coming to possess it. This is the promise which he gave Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It wasn't just, you know, okay, you've now got the land of Canaan. Although it also means that, what it all really means, you've got the desire to come to God. This is the inheritance that God gave Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the promise. This is the inheritance. And this is our inheritance too. Ve'im yifne levavcha ve'lo tishma. V'nidachta v'ishtahavita l'elohim achemim v'avadatam. Higadati lachem ayom ki avod tovedom. Lo tarichu yamim al adama asher ata ovet hayadein lavod shama l'ishta. Okay? But if you do the opposite and you turn your heart away and you don't listen, then you will be rejected. Oh no, v'nidachta, sorry, you will be rejected. And you will, and if you bow down to other gods and serve them, in other words, other gods, we put other things first. You know, instead of making, you know, God our priority, we put, you know, whatever we put, the politics, the money, the whatever, the latest possession, whatever it happens to be. Now, it doesn't mean to say that we're worshipping them, okay? But it can become an obsession, you know, these things. And we need to recognize it and let go again, all right? Of course we all fall in. We all fall in. It's not possible to live in a physical world and not fall in, okay? But we can all get out again. Now, just to make something clear, when Rabbi Ashlag talks about the will to receive for ourselves alone and Elohim Acherim and things like that and other gods, he doesn't mean the things we need to do for our parnasa, for our daily bread. Okay? What we need to do for our daily bread doesn't count. Whatever we need to do, we need to do. We've been given physical bodies in the physical world. We have to eat. We have to have a roof over our heads. Whatever we need to do for our daily bread, we need to do. That's not what's counted here. Okay, but it's when we worship that stuff, when we put it first, that's what's wrong. And then he says, and I'm telling you today, now it's, you know, today, this minute, that then you're going to get lost. And your days won't lengthen on the land where you're going over the Jordan to possess it for an inheritance. In other words, you've got to somehow cross this inner boundary, okay, in order to come into this consciousness of giving. Ha'idoti b'chem hayom. I call witness against you today. Et ha'shamayim v'et ha'aretz. Now the Shemaim in the Zohar actually usually means the world above us. It's not the physical heavens, it's what's called the Olam HaYetzirah, the higher world above us for which we get our sustenance, and the earth, the Malchut. The life and the death I'm putting before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Ubachata b'chayim, but choose life. In order that you will be connected, in order that you will live, choose the path of life. Ata v'zarecha, you and your children. La'ahava et Hashem lokecha, try to love the Lord your God. Lishmo b'kolo, to listen to his voice. Uladovka bo, and to be one with him. Ki hu chayecha v'oich yamecha, for he is your life and the length of your days. Lashevet al adama, asher nishpa Hashem lavutecha la'avam liyitzak uliyakov latet lehem. Because he is to dwell on the land which God swore to your forefathers to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give to them.
Yadida, can I ask another question?
Sure.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, no, it's good.
Just that you seem to translate Eretz two ways. When you spoke about Eretz Israel, you spoke about that as the desire. And here when you translated Eretz, you said Malchut.
Yes. It's actually the same.
Okay.
It's actually the same. Yeah, you're quite right. The desire is the vessel. The spiritual vessel is called the Malchut. There is only one spiritual vessel, and that's the Malchut. All the other Sfirot are not actually true vessels. They're actually lights. The only vessel that there really is the Malchut. And when we talk about the other Sfirot of Keter, Chochmah, Bina, Tiferet, and Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, those are actually, when we're talking about them as vessels, they are actually all subdivisions of the Malchut. We're actually meaning Keter of Malchut, Chochmah of Malchut, Bina of Malchut, Tiferet of Malchut, and Malchut of Malchut. Because the only vessel really is a Malchut. The other Sfirot are actually more like the eyes and the ears. Like, for example, if I'm looking at a beautiful rose, okay? Now, is it my eye who's enjoying the rose, or is it me?
Mm.
It's me, okay? Right. My eye is only the means by which.
And that's synonymous with desire?
The Malchut is synonymous with desire, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So the other Sfirot are actually considered lights when they're on their as if they're on their own, because they are simply means by which, but they're not true vessels. They're actually lights, and everything that we talk about as vessels for receiving the light of God is actually all in the Malchut.
And Eretz would be synonymous with Eretz Israel. Would it mean the same thing here?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. 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 Yeah, because the Malchut is synonymous with the soul, and the soul of Israel is it's the same thing. Yeah, totally. It's just we get used to, and it takes a lot of time actually to get used to the way the Kabbalah language works. It's a very short language. And it will often use the same word in slightly different ways. And it's just something you have to learn to get used to. It's a very short language. It doesn't actually have a very huge vocabulary. Okay. Klomal. That is to say, B'terem netinata Torah lo hayu lefaneinu ela hamavit v'hara. Perush. Kamo shamu chazal shoshim b'chayehem nikuim meitim. That is to say, before the giving of the Torah, there wasn't any real choice. There was only death and evil. In other words, before the Torah was given, we were ruled by our nature. Now, I think this is still true now. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I keep learning new things. And I think to myself, oh my God, if only I'd known that before, then I wouldn't have made that mistake, or I wouldn't have done that wrong action in my life. I've made so many wrong actions in my life. It's really disheartening. And I read something in the Misilat Yesharim, or I read something in Rabbi Ashlag, and I think, oh my God, if only I'd have known that. 20 years ago or 30 years ago, my whole life would have been different. And the truth of the matter is that often we don't know things. But maybe I wouldn't have been open to it then. I don't know. But the truth of the matter is that until we're connecting with Torah, we don't actually know what different choices there are available to us. Okay? And different ways of behaving. Suddenly, when we've got, the whole concept of giving unconditionally and doing things, and ethics and doing things differently than us simply being ruled by our natural ego. We're ruled by our natural ego. That's it. There isn't any real choice. I mean, we we're ruled by, you know, whatever happened to us in childhood. We're ruled by, you know, our surroundings and whatever society we're in. We're ruled by our material circumstances. We don't seem to be able to get out of any of this stuff, of the internet. And only when we begin to connect with a totally different paradigm, which is what the Torah really is. It's a totally different consciousness completely. It's a totally different paradigm. That only then can we really, really, really come to a different, a choice, a true choice, a different way of being. Okay, and this is what he's saying. Before the giving of the Torah, this could be, you know, on Har Sinai, on Mount Sinai, it could be, you know, for me today, you know, I learned something. Then there was only before me, before us, the death and separation and evil.
Would you say it's like you're walking in a forest and you just don't see the path that will get you out?
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it was there, but you just didn't see it because it was overgrown or whatever reason, you didn't have the right glasses, but the road was there, but you just didn't see it. So I think for me that the analogy of a path is very useful. Suddenly there are choices because the paths become clear. Yes. And what paths not to take, where they'll lead you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. I find that too. That's a good analogy. Thanks. Explanation. As the sages said, that the wicked in their lifetime are called dead. Okay, that's from the Gemara. Mishum shetov motam lechayehim, because in fact, their death is better than their life. Liot hayisurim v'machovim shesovlim b'shvil hasagat kiyum chayehim oleh pi kama meruveh al katzat ha'tanug shemargishim b'chayim halalu. Since the suffering and the pain that they suffer in order to attain the existence cost them so much more than the little joy that they feel in this life. Omnam ata, however now, shezachinu l'Torah mitzvot, that we've merited Torah mitzvot, asher b'kiyuman anachnu zochim b'chayim ha'amitiyim, hasmeichim v'hamesamachim l'ba'aleihem, through whose fulfillment we merit to true life, which gives joy and which gives which are happy and which give joy to their owners. Kamosh katuv ta'amu ru'u ki tov Hashem. Taste and see that God is good. In other words, you've got to make that jump and jump in and do something different and do something which is unconditionally giving. Okay? You've got to jump in, and each time, you know, it feels like jumping in. Each time it's a new beginning. Each time it's a new thing because it's not in our nature. So therefore it feels like jumping in. But then you taste and see that God is good. But you have to do it as a jump. And therefore the sages said, the scriptures said, Re'ei natati lifnechem hayom et hachayim ve'et hatov. See, I place before you today the life and the good. Ma shelo haya lechem b'mitziut klal kodem netinat haTorah. Which was not actually available to you in reality before the giving of the Torah. Okay. Any more questions, ideas, thoughts?
I'm sorry, I guess I blanked out a minute. What was not available to you before the giving of the Torah?
True life. Yeah.
Life meaning your connection with God.
Yeah. Okay. Right. What I wrote here, I'll just read it in English. This, we can look at this sentence in the way of service of God, because there's no reality of life and there's no way of connecting with source of all lives except through the light through which the Torah is illuminated. We are all born with a nature of our will to receive ourselves alone. And the use of this nature causes us separation from the Creator. But a person can't actually see the damage which the use of this will is causing him. And he can't actually see that there's any alternative. And since this separation from the Creator is actually true death, and before the giving of the Torah, there was no reality of life and good, which is actually unity with the Creator before the Torah. And like we say, it doesn't have to be in a historical event, the giving of the Torah. It could be anything that's given to us even today. And since the Torah has actually a special virtue, which has got an illumination in it, which brings a person back to the good way. And in one of the lessons, I think it's one or two further on, we're going to look at in more depth, what is this illumination that the Torah actually has for us? Okay? And then it brings a person back to the good way. And how does illumination work? Actually, it allows a person to see the damage that his selfishness is causing him. And before, and without the Torah, we can't actually see it. We think we're doing ourselves good. We don't see what damage we're doing to ourselves. Okay. All right.
Yeah, Dita, I have a question that I've been thinking about what's happening in the world today, specifically all the women's marches that have been happening.
Oh,
and, and what I thought was, like, somewhere there's Torah inside those people that they want to do good in the world, what they see is good in the world. So they're not really, like, taking the mitzvot and following them, but innately there's something inside of them that sees, like, something good or potential for good, and there are millions of them coming out to march for that. So
oh, absolutely. And, I mean, one of my chavrutas, one of my closest chavrutas is Women for Peace or something. What's it called? Women March for Peace?
Women, I think peace. I just looked them up today. Yeah, Waging Peace.
Yeah,
women waging peace.
Yeah, she's one of my closest kabutas. And she's out there, you know, busy doing. And, you know, and I just see it's coming from a very, very, very good place. You know, I'm not politically orientated in the same direction. It doesn't make any difference to me what politics people have. And politics is not my way of doing things, but I can see it's coming from a very beautiful place for her, definitely.
So my question is this Torah and mitzvot? Because it looks like on the outside it could be, there might be some mitzvah about fighting for justice or whatever, but it doesn't look like Orthodox Judaism, you know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean. There are certain mitzvot which are easy to see precisely what they are. And those are generally the mitzvot, well, even that's not really so. I mean, there's sort of like the practical mitzvot which we do between man and God. Like on Pesach, we eat matzahs. Okay. All right, that's clear, all right? Now, you might have a particular question about the kashrut of a particular type of matzah, but generally speaking, everybody knows what a matzah is, and on Pesach we eat matzahs, all right? But there are there's loads and loads of mitzvahs which are very much left to the individual to figure out what they really are. I mean, for example, thou shalt not steal. That's a mitzvah that applies to every single person. Okay? Now, I was talking to a teacher the other day, and she teaches on Friday mornings to the, you know, to her last lesson is, you know, the last lesson of the week for all the children. And they always beg her, they spend the whole lesson telling her, oh, please, miss, can't you dismiss us 10 minutes early? And she says, no, why not? Because as far as she's concerned, she gets paid for teaching the whole hour. And dismissing the class 10 minutes early would be stealing. So she takes the issue of thou shalt not steal as meaning that she can't dismiss her children early. I mean, they're high school kids, so they could certainly go home early without their parents or anything like that. That's not an issue. They could just take the bus. But she feels that that would be cutting short what she's actually paid to do. All right? So, we're given the mitzvot, but then we're very much, there's a lot of interpretation. How are we going to actually interpret that? You know, I have another friend who is a rabbi, a very lovely, lovely, lovely man. And he teaches in a seminar called Neve in Jerusalem. And he told me about a girl who he just couldn't teach anything to this girl. I mean, she just wasn't, she was there the whole year and he didn't think she was doing anything. And one time, at the end of the year, she came to him and said, I really want to tell you that I learned something from you. And he said, oh my gosh, what was it, kind of thing. And she said, one time you came into class and you said, I by accident took somebody's pen. And it was, the cheapest, one shekel pen. Biro, is there anybody who's taken, has lost a pen? Well, nobody had. So he then went to the office and asked there, and nobody had lost the pen there. So finally, what he did was he put it in a place which was Hefka, which was anybody who needed a pen could just simply go and get it. Because he didn't want to be stealing. Now, most of us, if we pick up a pen which is worth one shekel or two shekel, which we know that somebody who's lost it isn't even going to think about it, wouldn't even think about that as stealing. And yet he did, and he took that seriously, and it was that action of his which actually opened the heart of this girl. So you just never know. So there are mitzvahs and they are defined, but on the other hand, their interpretation is so much left to the individual and the individual circumstance.
As you were talking, I was also thinking in Rabbi Ashlag's terms of giving to receive or giving to give. Mm-hmm. And for the sake of it could be that there are millions of people marching and some of them have very self-centered reasons and others have more global humanistic there's like a million reasons why they're marching too. A million people, a million reasons. And oh, yes, so I'm just definitely trying to understand from like, what would it look like if I was one of those marchers from like Rabbi Ashlag? Flag's perspective, giving to give, like what would that actually look like?
I think only you could know that.
Uh-huh.
Because the truth of the matter is that only the individual knows what his own intention really is. And sometimes we don't even know our own intentions. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we don't. One of the reasons why the Kabbalah is called the secrets or mystical or hidden Torah is because it deals with intentions. And in fact, we don't know. Intentions are not overt. Let me give you an example of this, and then we'll probably have to sign off soon because we've gone past the hour. And probably everybody's got to zoom off to whatever they've got to do. There's an example in the Gemara of two Kohanim, priests, eating the sacrifice. Some sacrifices were eaten by the priests in the temple. And one of the priests is sitting there saying, and thinking to himself, lovely steak tonight. And the other one is thinking, oh God, please send the owner of this sacrifice only good, sent his soul upwards, let him only receive good, let all his sins be forgiven, etc., etc. So one of them is eating the sacrifice because he's hungry, and the other one is doing it for the sake of heaven, unconditionally. Now, you're coming along to the table, and you see these two priests sitting eating. You have absolutely no idea what their secret intentions are. As far as you're concerned, you can see two priests eating. You can't see what their intentions are. So because the Kabbalah deals with intentions, it's called the hidden Torah. Whereas the other Torah, which deals with overt actions, how we do this mitzvah, how we do that mitzvah, it's called the revealed Torah, because actions are obvious and can be seen by everybody.
Thank you. That was very helpful.
Good. Wonderful. All right, everybody. Lovely to have you all here. Welcome to Dina. Dina lives in Mitzpena Tufa, which is a village in the Galilee, not far from Tzfat, another hilltop.
You're all welcome to come visit us.
Yay, absolutely, and Tzfat. And it's probably just as windy there as it is here.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, and wonderful. Okay, so Dina's also joining us.
Thank you, Yadira. That was terrific.
Thank you so much. Thank you
for your question. I recorded it. I'm going to put the recording up for everybody on the same place as usual. All right?
Thank you.
Wonderful. Yeah. It was lovely. Lovely, Diane. Lovely to have you. I hope it's not too early for you.
Oh, no. It was good this time.
Good for you. Bless you. All right. It seems like those mushrooms worked.
Yeah, they did.
Super, absolutely super. Okay, so I'll see you next week on Monday.
Yes, lovely. Definitely.
Very good.
Thank you.
Okay, take care then.
Bye-bye.
Bye.